Hope your hearts are ready. You got your Bibles open to Joshua chapter 1. We'll be today. And Joshua chapter 1. I think it's very fitting that in the month of Thanksgiving, we also celebrate our veterans. You know, one of the things we should be very thankful for, those that had the courage to enter the U.S. Armed Forces. The ones that had the courage to prepare for battle and to fight if there was a need. And the courage to even place their lives on the line. And so to them, we owe a thank you. Much gratitude. And today we're going to look at a portion of Scripture where the Hebrew people are called to act, are called to have courage. It's very fitting as we speak of the veterans, of soldiers, because believers are also called to be good soldiers of Christ. As Paul told Timothy, he said, therefore endure hardness as a good soldier of Jesus Christ. You know, veterans are that great picture that we can have of what a believer is supposed to be. Willing to be trained, to be prepared, to fight, and if needed, even give their lives. So the Israelites are a great example here, a great picture as well of this courage that we're called to have because they too were to live by faith. They too would see the blessings of God, the peace, the provision that He gives when they're obedient to His ways. And so in Joshua chapter 1, we're going to read a number of verses. But follow with the great story, especially if you go home and continue reading through the story. In Joshua chapter 1, verse 1, it says, now after the death of Moses, the servant of the Lord, it came to pass that the Lord spake unto Joshua the son of Nun, Moses' minister, saying, Moses, my servant, is dead. Now therefore arise, go over this Jordan, thou and all this people, unto the land which I do give to them, even to the children of Israel. Every place that the sole of your foot shall tread upon, that have I given unto you, as I said unto Moses. From the wilderness and this Lebanon, even unto the great river, the river Euphrates, all the land of the Hittites, and unto the great sea toward the going down of the sun, shall be your coast. There shall not be, let me try again, there shall not any man be able to stand before thee all the days of thy life, as I was with Moses, so I will be with thee. I will not fail thee, nor forsake thee. Be strong and of good courage. For thou art this people, shall thou divide for an inheritance the land which I swear unto their fathers to give unto them. Only be strong and very courageous, that thou mayest observe to do according to all the law which Moses, my servant, commanded thee. Turn not from it to the right hand or to the left, that thou mayest prosper whithersoever thou goest. This book of the law shall not depart out of thy mouth, but thou shalt meditate therein day and night, that thou mayest observe to do according to all that is written therein. For then thou shalt make thy way prosperous, and then thou shalt have good success. Have I not commanded thee? Be strong and of good courage. Be not afraid, neither be thou dismayed. For the Lord thy God is with thee whithersoever thou goest. Father, we love you. Thank you for loving us. Thank you for your promises, for your word. And I ask that you'd instill that courage in each one of us to stand for you, to live for you, to represent you everywhere we go. Lord, there's someone here that's never called upon you and placed their faith in Jesus Christ. This can be the day of salvation. But each person that is your child will decide to live as such. Live in your power by your word. In the name of your son, Jesus, we pray. Amen. It's a popular text, but often only a couple verses out of this text is quoted. I've preached on it, I think it was 7 years ago, so you probably remember. But there's a lot here as God is challenging a man named Joshua. Because he's going to assume leadership of the Israelites, the Jewish nation. Understand that their leader Moses had just died. And the problem is, Moses was an incredible leader. He was loved by the people. He had seen great works of God. They had really prospered under him. He was a man of God. He was honored, respected, and wise. So you can imagine Joshua would be afraid of replacing Moses. He was intimidated, scared of the people. People whined a lot. They got mad easily. And they're about to go to war. He had a tough calling. You imagine all this that he's enduring, all this worry with him, not knowing what's about to happen, other than God just gave him a command. But we see in this passage that God has that big plan for him. And God calls. And that's the first thing I want us to understand for us, too, that God calls you and I. You know, when we look at videos of our military, they seem to always be preparing for battle. They're always getting prepared for when that call comes. You know, not just when they're involved in battle, but they prepare for when the battle comes. And when they prepare to win. They prepare so they can conquer, so they can succeed. And we see in this passage that God made a promise to them of success, that they would succeed. Well, for this success to take place, it's not automatic. It's going to involve obedience. It's going to involve faith. Understand that before we receive the success part, we've got to be obedient to what he has called us to do. Obedience is always required. Faith is going to have to be more than just words and emotions. If you've been here on Wednesday nights, hopefully that means a little bit more to us. The depth of what he's calling us to trust him. We just got done on Wednesday nights, James 2:26, faith without works is dead. God calls us to faith. That doesn't mean you get a goosebump. That means you're obedient, that you walk according to his calling. And they would have to move by faith in what he has just called them to do. See, God, they had to believe that God is powerful enough to do his part. They're calling them, God has sent them to battle, to take over land. They're going to have to trust that God is powerful enough to give that land to them. They're going to have to trust that God would keep his promise of what he told them. They would have to have faith that God's going to bless their obedience. But this is not an easy task. Notice what it's going to take, what's going to require of them. In verse 6 it says, be strong and of good courage. For them to be obedient to the calling of God, they're going to have strength in their faith. They're going to have to be courageous. Courageous doesn't mean you don't shake and cry a little bit. Doesn't mean you're going to have to change your trousers every now and again, yeah? Courage means you're going to stand up and do what's right, no matter what happens. No matter what force is coming at you. That's courage. See, God told Joshua in his text that you're going to have courage. There's going to be times with some serious issues that Joshua's going to confront. God never promises goosebumps, a bed of roses. People are going to get upset at him. Enemies are going to attack. And if this is the time it requires courage. Courage isn't something you can claim to have. Courage is something that is seen when hard times come. You with me? It's quiet out there. Courage is something that is shown in your life when the hard time comes. It requires faith. See, in the New Testament, we are called to live holy lives, aren't we? Starting in Sunday school today, be ye holy, for I am holy, the Lord tells us. We are called to represent Christ as believers. We're ambassadors of Christ. We're called to be witnesses to the whole world. We're sent to the whole world to carry the gospel of Christ. He has a calling on our life. And before we can see the blessing that we want, before we see the peace that he wants to give to us, before we see the joy that he wants to instill in us, before we can feel the purpose that he's called us to, first we've got to act in faith. We've got to have courage. We've got to trust God to be faithful and able. And to trust him goes further in saying amen in church. To trust God with our lives to obey his calling goes further than having the knowledge that he can do it. It means applying it and watching him work through us. And if we do have the faith and we do believe that he is who he says he is, if we do trust that he is powerful as he says he is, we need to quit making excuses for putting off our sins. Amen or ouch? No. Quit meddling, Pastor. That's all of us. Quit trying to justify those things that we allow in our lives. Justifying our laziness in presenting the gospel. We got to quit putting off his calling for later or leaving it for someone else. We got to quit letting Satan distract us from God's word. We got to quit falling for the lies of this world, because we got to start letting the faith take control. As believers, you got to walk by faith and not by sight. Not by what I experience, not by what I feel, but what God's word promises and guides us. You've got to have that courage. But God doesn't simply say, be courageous, good luck out there. God prepares a way to give us this courage and this faith. And the second thing we see here is that God prepares. See, when someone enters the military, probably any branch, and I know you're going to be surprised, I never served in the military, but I could have probably if I wanted to. Except they want you to do that thing called running. And I don't know anything else they do, but I know they do some of that running stuff. And I lose my breath getting to the fridge, you know what I'm saying? But they enter the military, any branch, they're not just given a gun and said, hey, good luck. Hope you shoot the right guy. Right? They have a special week to start off all their training. Isn't that right, Charlie? Gene, wasn't it a really harsh week to start it out? We call that week what? Yeah. Right? Isn't it hell week? Is that right? Hell's a place, not a curse word, unless you use it as such. Okay, understand, there is a bad week. What's their point? Is to break you of your old habits, to break you of your own ideas, to humble you so that you can work as a team, so you will listen to your commander. And then they take a long time to be trained in many different areas, physical training, weapons, combat, survival, all kinds of different things in training to prepare a man for service. See, the Hebrews here were going to be prepared too for what God called them to. Deeper than in hand-to-hand combat, deeper than some weapon training, and here's what they need for preparation. Verse 8, this book of the law shall not depart out of your mouth, but thou shalt meditate therein day and night. And thou mayest observe to do according to all that is written therein. Did you catch what their training was? The word of God. What does God want? What are his ways? What is righteous? At this time, as God is speaking to them a few thousand years ago, they weren't blessed with the whole Bible as you and I are. They had the first five books, Genesis through Deuteronomy, which we call the Pentateuch. It's a hard word. Here's what it means. Five books. Deep. You can go home and say, I know what Pentateuch means. You really feel spiritual now, don't you? We like to throw big words around so it sounds theological. The Pentateuch, you know, was written by it means five books. Just say the first five books of the Bible. That's what they had. Genesis through Deuteronomy. That's how they could get to know God through. That's how they could obey Him. That's the books that God gave to Moses. We know them as the law. But in that law, we see the character of God. We see the desires of God for us. And God calls them to Him to stay in the Word. In verse 8, He says, meditate therein. How long? Just on Sunday mornings? Day and night. Meditate nonstop in the Word of God. Get to know me so you will trust me, is what God's saying. Meditate all the time. Study God's Word. And you go through your day. You just let it working in your mind. Challenge you, reminding you, praying about it, sinking to your heart. But He says, meditate. Meditate isn't simply thinking. It's that deeper thinking. It's the breaking down. It's the applying of it. But then He goes on in verse 8 also to say, obey the Word. He says that thou mayest observe to do according to all that is written therein. See, faith isn't just to know God's Word, but to let God's Word transform our lives, to change our lives. He said, I want you to meditate therein and apply it. Only in this book can they obey God's command in verse 6 of being strong and courageous. And we're going to see why later, that it requires them knowing God to fulfill His calling. See, God's telling them that if they want the blessing, if they want the courage to act in faith, they best be listening to His Word, getting to know Him. Now, this didn't just stop in the Old Testament. God is clear to us in the New Testament, clear to you and I, that we're to do the same. We're familiar with 2 Timothy 2:15. Study to show thyself approved unto God. What? A workman needeth not be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. You catch that? God calls you and I to know God's Word, to be in it consistently, to study it, to apply it. See, to live for Christ, you've got to know God through His Word. It's the reason we meet for Sunday school on Sunday mornings. Not because we want to get here an hour early. But we want to get a little bit deeper than we can in service. Why do we meet on Wednesday nights? Because we want to get a little bit deeper. And sometimes we just need the fellowship to be encouraged in the middle of the week. We need to be prayed together. So I challenge you. Listen, those other times that we meet aren't just we can say we're having service because other churches do it. No, most churches stop doing Wednesday nights and Sunday nights now. Do you know that? But if it's an opportunity for us to grow, we're going to use it. So I challenge you, come so together we can continue to study and break down God's Word as we will tonight. The ladies will meet here at 6, the men will meet at my house at 6, and we're just going to get a little bit deeper. We're going to talk, we're going to share God's Word. But you must get to know God's Word so that you can trust Him. We must be guided by His Word. Why? Because we've got to be guided by the command. You know, remember, how often the Hebrews are told to do it? Day and night. You know, this here is not your Sunday morning textbook. Shared it before when I started Bible college. I had a young pastor friend. Well, I say young, he was older than me. He said, don't let this become your textbook. This is my intimate letter from God. As soon as I use it as a textbook, I start dissecting it for information rather than for a relationship. You know, and when it's more about relationship, I enjoy being with Him. When it's textbook, 9 to 5, Lord. Yeah? So this cannot be your textbook. This is you're supposed to be in it day and night. Let it be in your mind and in your heart. If you're satisfied with Sunday morning only, you're going to get destroyed. Because that's how much strength you're allowing to put in. Come and be strengthened at the church body, but also on your own, you're digging into God's Word. Then we will be approved workmen of God, as He tells us. Then He can say to us, well done. And he can bless us with the peace and comfort, the courage and the faith. But too often we want the blessing before we obey. Well, God calls us to obedience so that he can bless us with those things. He calls us to obedience so that we're walking with him and being with him so that he can comfort us. After we know him and his word, and we start to walk by faith, and we're obedient to him because of the courage that he's given to us, then we celebrate success. We like to skip to this part, don't we? We like success. Anybody? Yeah? No, we're Baptists. We don't raise our hands. Yeah? Well, thank you, Tia. We wanted to skip right here. Let's not do all the work. Just give me success. I don't want training. I just want to be the CEO of a company. Kind of mentality we have today. I don't want to go through all the work my grandparents had to go through to get their new house. I just want to be in a brand new house right away. I want success without the work. But God said no. God calls us first to obedience. That we walk by faith. We walk with him. And that we live in his holiness. That's what faith does. We live in obedience to him. A life of holiness. A life fulfilling his calling, his commissioning. And look what happens there. Look at verse 8. What happens? For then, after these things, for then thou shalt make thy way prosperous. And then thou shalt have what? Just success? Good success. Better than you can imagine. Notice here, your prosperity and your success is not based on what you planned or did. It's not based on how much work and effort you did. It's not based on what you want or what your ability is. It's not based on what others think of you or what someone else's measure of success is. You notice here who gives success is God. God gives success when you are obedient, when you are faithful. Why? Because you followed his plan. Catch that? You're not successful because you followed your plan. You become successful because God will give you success when you follow his plan, when you're obedient to him. He'll give you success because you acted by faith in his word. His success may not look like you want it to look. It may not be recognized by others or even yourself. Too often we measure success according to our own ideas. Many would call Paul, the Apostle Paul, a failure. You got imprisoned. You got beat up. They would call John the Baptist a failure. Brother, you got beheaded, dude. Then they danced around with your head on a platter. Most of the apostles were killed, stabbed, thrown from the top of the temple, fried in oil, hung upside down. Then, measure of a man. Oh, that's not very successful. They're failed. They're not happy. They don't have goosebumps. Then we read the hero section of the Bible. The men that had success were the ones that continued to be faithful even through struggles. You understand that our idea of success doesn't matter. Success is when we're obedient to the call of God. And because what is success to us? What is going to tell you you did good? Here's what's going to tell me I did good. One day I'm going to look Jesus in the eyes. And what I want to hear is, someone say it. I want to hear Jesus say, well done, my good and faithful servant. How can he say that? Mark don't like you. Sorry, Mark. Yeah. How can he say that? You didn't make much money. How can he say that? The whole world mocks at you and laughs at you. You know, my Jesus said, well done, my good and faithful servant. You know what I am? I'm successful. He purchased me with his holy blood. What is success to me is not what impresses you, but what he has called me to. And he will give me success because I am obedient to his calling, obedient to his plan. I walk by faith in him. And one day I hope to hear, well done, my good and faithful servant. Not the faithful servant of First Baptist Church of Humiston, which I am. But that's not my high calling. My high calling is the servant of Jesus Christ. He's the one that I want to notice me. He's the one that I want to receive honor from everything I say and do. He's the one you should be hoping to look at one day and say, Lord, I did all I could. I ran the race. I fought the fight. And you're living to hear that moment, him say, well done. Now I'll tell you this, you will see him face to face. Each one of you will see him one day. Unfortunately, there might be someone here that will hear him say, I never knew you. Depart from me, doers of iniquity. You'll be cast into eternal damnation because you never placed faith in Jesus Christ. You never called upon him for salvation. Here's a simple fix. You understand that Jesus Christ is God himself who laid his life down for you. He shed his holy blood to pay for your sins and to make you holy. And he says, for whosoever believeth in him shall not perish. All you've got to do is really trust who he is and call upon his name for salvation. And he adopts you as his children. If you've already done that, you're also going to stand before a throne. We call it the Bema Seat of Christ, the judgment seat, where he's going to look at you and say, okay, what did you do with the person I purchased with my blood? And he's going to give us rewards for our faithfulness, rewards for our works. And it's going to be humiliating if we did nothing with the life that we let his blood pour out for. Each one of us is going to give an account for ourselves. And our desire at that time, when I look at him in that throne, is to hear him say, Ron, well done, my good and faithful servant. It's going to be quite a time, isn't it? You see, we can celebrate success at that moment. I hope that we can wait to celebrate success to see him. That's bigger than getting some accolades and pats on the back today. The scripture actually says that if you're working today to get the pats on the back from a man, you miss out on the gifts and the rewards from God. Because he said if you're doing it to be impress other men, to impress other people, says you got what you want. But if you're doing it unto the Lord, oh, he's got a good reward for you. So let's celebrate success when it's time to celebrate success. So God calls us. He prepares us. He gives success. And here's the last point, is be thankful. Be thankful. When we serve God, there's going to be trials, problems. It's going to be really hard times in our lives, grieving, mourning. It's bad news. I'm not going to lie to you. Serving God can be tough. And it's easy to get focused on those troubles and those hard times, and Satan uses those to distract us from the promises of God. But let me just point something out to you. When you remain faithful to God and serving God, and those hard times come, remember this verse here. Go to verse 9. Have I not commanded thee, be strong and of good courage? Be not afraid, neither be thou dismayed. Why can I do all that? Why is it I can have courage? Why can I be strong? Because at the end of the verse, for the Lord thy God is with thee whithersoever thou goest. He's telling those Jewish men, those Hebrews that are about to go to battle, he says, don't you worry. Why? If you're obedient and faithful to me, I am right there at battle with you. That's why I said no one's going to stand against you. Not because you're powerful, but because the power is amongst you. Because greater is he who is in you than he who is in the world. You see, God's promise is that when you are obedient to his call, you take courage from his word, you walk by faith in his word, and he explains the courage isn't just some empty command. It's not just a feel-good saying like we like to say when we don't have a clue what to say to someone that's going through a hard time. God's saying here is you can be courageous and you can be strong and you can deal with this because you know I'm with you. And in the New Testament, those that come to Christ, he says he places himself within us. We become the temple of his Holy Spirit. As long as we follow God's plan, there's a promise of good success. Why? Who's amongst us? The omnipotent one that is all-powerful. The omniscient one, that's the all-knowing. The omnipresent, the one that's everywhere. The good one. The holy one. The faithful one. He is with you. Does that give you courage? Does that strengthen you? Does that comfort you? Does that remind you that it's worth walking with him? Believer, you and I are privileged to have the completed word. He has given the whole rest of the Bible, 66 books in this Bible. That's what he's revealed to us over about 1,500 years through over 40 people. He's revealed his word to us so that we can know him, we can walk with him, we can trust him. And he ended in the book of Revelation and said, don't you dare add or take away from this word. He sealed. He said, here's everything you need. Now some want to bring up more. Oh, God's still speaking. Now here it is. If we could handle all this, he may give us more. But we can't handle it. And he's given us his completed word. We can know him so intimately today that we should be able to walk with him and talk with him and battle for him and let him guide us with no worries. We more than anyone ever on the face of the earth should have no reason to fear. But the enemy's powerful. He's good. He's distracted. We have reason to have courage as long as we submit to God's leadership, as long as we follow God's plan, as long as we remember God is with us. We have ability to fulfill everything he's called us to. Understand the Great Commission where he has called us to preach the gospel to all nations. How does he end that? Matthew 28:20. And I am with you always, even unto the end of the world. I'm with you always. You remember the poem of Footprints in the Sand? Then write it down, plan it on it. If you don't know it, write it down and look it up. But the whole point of the poem is when you're walking with God, there's two sets of footprints in the sand. And at times, there's only one set of footprints in the sand. God, where'd you go? That's when I picked you up and I carried you. He is always with God. In Hebrews, when he calls us to live in holiness, he tells us in Hebrews 13:5, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee. Can we have courage? Can we be thankful that God is with us? God is with you if you're his child. Not only does he call you his child, he calls you his friend, his servant, his soldier. And if you are in his word and allow it to transform you, you will always have the courage to serve and obey him. And that's when you see that he's right there with you. And that's when you have great success. Would you stand with me? If you've never placed faith in Christ, I would love to talk to you anytime. You give me a call. Stay after church. That's what I'm here for. There's other men in the church that would love to show you in God's word how you can be saved. We're going to close in a song that you may have heard of before. Great is thy faithfulness. Because God is faithful with his children. Sometimes we feel alone. It's because we're not intimate with him. But he's right there with us. And we can have the courage. So let's sing together.